Now this evening we have heard Gemma and Victoria and Joe's stories. We've heard how in different ways they all came to believe in God and to entrust their lives to him. Those of you who know Gemma, Victoria and Joe know that they're not mad or gullible. They're three very special but perfectly normal women who simply said yes to Jesus and placed him at the centre of their lives. They've made him the basis of their identities and have found that he makes all the difference. In Jesus Christ, they've found joy and hope, and any old feelings of guilt and inadequacy have been washed away. This evening, I want to tell you the story of three other women who also had an amazing experience one Easter day. In fact, this happened on the first ever Easter day. Two of these women were both called Mary. It was a very popular name in those days, and the other was called Salome. They were close friends of Jesus, but 3 days earlier he had been brutally killed by the Romans. In those times, the day before Sunday was known as the Sabbath, the day of rest. And during the Sabbath, Jesus' body lay, very dead, in a tomb. Here is their story, which now appears in our Bibles in Mark chapter 16. It begins with their full names, almost as if they were saying to the early church, if you want to check up on this, come and talk to one of us. I'll just read you some of the verses. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" I'll pause there. What do you notice? What were the three women expecting to find when they arrived at the tomb? They went to the tomb with spices because they were going to anoint Jesus' body. It was something people in those days, normally women, did as a sign of respect for a dead person. They lived in a hot climate and a dead body would soon start to rot and smell very bad. And spices were aromatic plants and ointments which would mask the smell for a while. And they were obviously expecting to find a dead body that had been dead for some while. They were also worried, did you notice? Because they were going to have a problem. They knew they were going to have a problem. The tomb, which was hollowed out of a rocky hillside, would have a large stone rolled in front of it to keep out wild dogs and other animals and people who might come to start eating the flesh or stealing what had been put with the body. And the women knew they weren't strong enough to roll the stone away by themselves, so they were discussing how they might find someone to help them do it. So here they were, three women, that first Easter day, expecting to find a sealed tomb and a decomposing body inside it. But here's what happened next. But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You were looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." What do you notice about what happened next? They experienced something which totally amazed them and shattered all their preconceptions. It wasn't that they'd been hoping and dreaming that this would happen. Quite the obvious, quite the opposite. Otherwise, they wouldn't be carrying spices to the tomb, would they? It wasn't some sort of hallucination. All three of them saw the same thing. And the tomb, the stone was actually rolled away from the tomb. And the angel who spoke to them said, "Come and look inside." They were confronted with rock-hard evidence, which they couldn't make any sense of at all. They were pretty scared. Otherwise, the angel wouldn't have said to them, "Don't be alarmed." The angel said something else to them. He said, "But go. Tell his disciples," referring to Jesus, "tell Jesus' disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee," that's in the north of Israel. "There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. What do you notice? They were told to do something by the angel, those three women, but they didn't do it. Now, bear in mind, the only way that we could know what happened was if one of those three women, well, all three of those women, confessed in some way and said, "This is what happened to us that morning, that Easter morning." And so we're left with a choice, aren't we, between two versions of events that first Easter day. The first version of events is to say the three women made the whole thing up. It's a very strange story to make up, isn't it? A story which centres on their own doubts and their lack of courage. A story which they knew to be false, but which they kept on telling down the years. A story which was consistent and yet subtly different with the other experiences that other disciples had that same day and over the coming days, that the Lord Jesus Christ was alive and had appeared to them. A story which they all stuck to, even as intense persecution started to bite in the early church. A story which would have caused them nothing but trouble and embarrassment. They could have made up such a story. But the other version of events is to say, well, this actually happened. God actually chose these three women, women who in those days were regarded as second-class citizens. He chose these three women to be the first witnesses to God breaking into history by raising Jesus from the dead. Under this version, the tomb was actually empty, and they actually were scared stiff and ran away. And only later, when other people too had seen the risen Lord Jesus, did they say what had happened to them. Personally, I think that second explanation makes better sense of the facts. But what do you think? This evening, we've heard the stories of Gemma, Victoria, Joe, Mary, and Salome. And in my opinion, all these six women are trustworthy, and we would do well to listen to their stories. Their stories make sense and have the ring of truth about them. There is a problem. Dead people don't rise. But that's the whole point. The Christian message is not that dead people routinely come back to life. That would be stupid. The Christian message is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And of course that's a remarkable thing, which at first sight seems unbelievable. But once you investigate, it turns out to be not only the best explanation of what happened that first Easter, but also the best explanation of what has happened this evening. The best explanation for the stories of millions of other people, like Gemma, Victoria, and Joe, who've come to know and experience the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. But now I want to ask you about your story. I know some of your stories, but some of you I don't know at all. Maybe you're here because you are part of Gemma or Victoria's or Joe's stories. But now I want you to think about your story. And I'm going to ask you two questions for you to think about. The first question is this. Are you willing to be surprised too? Like those three women were on the first Easter morning. Are you willing, on the basis of what you heard this evening, from Gemma, Victoria and Joe, from Mary, and Salome, to re-examine your assumptions about what happened that first Easter day and what that might mean for you? Are you willing to accept that there might be something in this which is worth investigating further? Because what these six women have told us has the ring of truth. And if you know Gemma, Victoria and Joe personally, you will know that although they aren't perfect, their lives tally with what they've said and what they've done this evening. Are you willing to be surprised? Or is your mind closed? And my second question is this. What are you going to do next? You may have noticed that we left Mary, and Salome's story hanging, which begs the question, what happened next? Gemma, Victoria's, and Joe's stories are also incomplete. They're only beginning their journeys of faith. But what about you? What happens next in your story? You can carry on as if nothing's happened. You can ignore what you've seen and heard this evening, perhaps out of fear as to where it might all end up. That option is open to you, but it would be sad for your story to end that way. Alternatively, why not take a step so that your faith story doesn't end here? Why not talk to Gemma or Victoria or Joe or one of the people you know here at church about their faith, about our faith, and what it might mean for you? Another possibility is that we're starting an Alpha course here in a couple of weeks. Joe mentioned that a course called Christianity Explored, which is similar in a way, was part of her faith journey. You might have seen Bear Grylls on the front of the church, and he is someone who's been through the Alpha course himself and has become a Christian. And Alpha Course is a safe place to explore what the Christian faith is all about. Bear Grylls has said that on any adventure, and he likens the Christian faith to an adventure, the first step is the hardest. But if you don't take that first step, you'll miss out on the whole adventure. So why not, like him, try Alpha? We have some leaflets, and people here will be very happy to talk to you more about that. In a moment, we're going to sing our final song, a song in which we celebrate the resurrection and all that Jesus has done for us this Easter day. And then our service will be over. Please do stay for refreshments afterwards through the back, as I said. But during this last song, can I encourage you as we sing, whether you sing the words yourself or whether you just want to listen, can I encourage you to think about those two questions I asked you? Are you willing to be surprised? What are you going to do next? And maybe you want to say to God something like this, just in the quietness. Dear God, I'm not sure what I believe, but I am willing to be surprised. Please reveal something more of yourself to me. And I want there to be a next step. I want something of what Gemma, Victoria and Joe have got. And I'm willing to do something in order to discover more of you. That would be a great prayer to pray. A prayer of faith that simply invites God to reveal more of himself to you. Can I encourage you to do that?